the rain, the sun shines, but what happens after the winter? This is season 2 of Queen Sugar. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, 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 guys. Welcome back to Queen Sugar Season 2.
Yes. Woo-hoo.
Like, this song playing, no, for real. When the first part of this season opener happening, I was like, oh, what song is this?
Right, this song rocks.
I didn't even realize. Rocks. I know this because of this music video. I didn't realize what song, but I've seen this video before. If you haven't seen the video, look it up, because it's so dope. The style in it is, like, sick.
So well, tell everybody what song this is.
Oh, I guess we should say.
Oh, well, this song is called Castles by Bosco featuring Styles B, I think. Something like that.
Hey.
But it's actually super dope.
Yes.
The music selection was really good these two episodes.
Yes, it cranks.
Anyway, welcome to AfterBuzz Season 2 of Woo-hoo! Queen Sugar. You have a whole new panel live in effect. I'm Elena. You can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
And hola, my people. You know who, you know what's going on. It's Franceli Chapman. And you can follow me at all things at Selly. Hang out. Hang out with me.
Hey, and I'm Ryan Graham. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan with two N's Graham and on Instagram at Instagram.
And as you guys always know, I am English Cleveland, and you can always find me on Instagram at Pink English, as well as on Twitter, English Speaks.
Come on.
Yeah. All right, y'all.
I'm really excited to get into this season, because not only did we have one episode, we had two. Mm-hmm. And I think that they were both really... they were really bulky in good ways. Like, you had moments where your heart was dropping, you was about to cry. You had other moments where you was, like, ready to slap Davis across his head.
Yeah.
And, like, fight him.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Shout outs to the writers, Monica and Jason. Monica Macer and Jason Wilburn, who wrote episodes 1 and 2. Because...
together or?
Well, no. Monica Macer wrote the first episode, and Jason Wilburn wrote the second one that played tonight.
Okay.
I kind of want to get in started with Micah, because I feel like he's going to set the tone for where the season is going. Mm-hmm. And I think with the climate of where we are in America today, even this week, I feel like that's going to be like a lot of it. So we might as well just go ahead and tackle that. When we were watching the first episode, there was a moment where I stared at the screen and I said, please don't die. Please don't die. Please don't die. What were your thoughts when you were kind of watching what was happening with Micah's situation?
That whole moment was super tense. Like, I mean, obviously, like, anytime you see a young black man and the police officer on TV, especially in the climate we're in, like, you go, oh, this is where this is going. I had a feeling he wasn't going to die. I did think he was going to get shot, because I was like, that, like, way to start a season, like, let's start with a bang, literally.
Right.
And then they cut to a commercial break, so
yeah,
it was like,
whoa.
Oh, like, that, okay, that happened. Like, it was like, such a cliffhanger. It was like, I don't know, like, I always knew he was going to be okay, because I feel like there's no way they're going to kill him off episode one.
Right.
Like, no.
And he's a main character.
Yeah, I'm like, they're not going to kill him. Could he have gotten shot? 100%. So it was definitely a scary moment.
I wasn't sure. I was kind of like, okay, obviously this is definitely parallel to modern day activity.
Right.
But I didn't think that, like you said, I didn't think he could die, just because it wouldn't go along with the storyline. Mm-hmm. And if he did die, it would be quite interesting to see Charlie and Davis's relationship during that point. So I don't think the show would expand that big right now.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people that don't like the extra commentary by the Peanut Gallery, you don't want to watch the show with me. Because I'm the one that's like, of course, his hand is on the gun, and he ain't even... So he reached for the glove compartment, and you... See, I'm not even thinking about him dying. I'm just thinking about this, what y'all do, this how y'all feel. Like, I'm just angry that we don't know how to de-escalate a situation. We're escalating the situation. And I say we because, you know, I'm not just going to blame one certain party. It's about how we all as a community, how can we cultivate a situation where we all learn how to treat each other better and how to do better instead of jumping to judgment? At the end of the day, can he or can he not afford this car is up for question, but why is that even a question?
Right.
You know, like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
What did you pull me over for in the first place? And then not knowing your rights, like, I don't... This kid is just not aware, because he's been living this privileged life for so long. So I'm glad that this happened, although it's unfortunate because it's getting him woke, and he needed to be woke.
He had like one of those Tiger Woods moments where he's like, he lived this life where he was like, oh no, it's all good. I mean, not Tiger Woods in the sense that he didn't know he was black, but like, he really knows he's black now.
Right,
like,
for sure.
Because like, unfortunately, in the eyes of a lot of police officers, like, you are still just a black man, and it's like, what are you doing? And you must be causing trouble.
Right.
There's no way you can be doing this. And I don't know. It's just, it's just unfortunate that this situation had to happen, but I mean, it's real, and I think people need to see it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, if you're in the chat room, let us know your thoughts on that particular scene, and even your attitude about the first two episodes. Were you pleasantly surprised? Are you excited? Did it disappoint you? Like, did you expect more? We definitely want to hear from you. But Francelli brought up a good point, and I kind of jotted this down because I feel like middle-class black kids, we have different experiences than lower-class black kids, and I feel like with Micah in particular, maybe he's not middle class, maybe he's a bit higher class, but because of the situation with his mom and his dad, he's kind of being knocked down because she doesn't have all the funds that his dad has. And I think that as far as Micah's situation, he went to school with very privileged kids that didn't look like him. He was living in Los Angeles. He grew up in Los Angeles in a very, big house with an NBA star dad. So I think that there's a certain kind of invisibility that comes when you grow up in a climate like that. Mm-hmm. And I think even when we saw him pee in his pants, like, my heart broke for him.
Yes.
But I also knew that this was a side that he knew he was black, but this was a side of his blackness that he didn't know he could experience or could happen to him.
Right.
I guess maybe I didn't, like, I don't feel like Micah, like, I do think he's privileged, but I don't feel like he thought he was invincible. Like, I feel like naive, sure, but you thought you got the invincible vibe from him? Because I feel like he doesn't seem like arrogant, like, the cops aren't going to do anything to me. I don't feel like I got that from him.
Yeah, but no, he's very humble and he's curious, but I think when you're a kid and you're like 16 and you have mom and dad, you don't necessarily think that nothing bad is going to happen or you can't go through nothing because he's very mature. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a sense of this can't happen. Like, this can't happen to me.
I mean, think about it. When he was in LA, he had a driver.
Right.
And now that he, moved down south, his mom takes him to school. This is the first time he's really driving on his own. Mm-hmm. For his birthday, his dad got him this fancy car. So you're not automatically thinking, oh, this car is going to attract this into my life.
True. Especially, like, we're based in LA, so, like, there are nice cars everywhere all day. So to him, it's literally nothing.
And plus, his dad is who his dad is. Right. And that comes with something. We can't even make it seem like that doesn't come with a bit of arrogance, and not even arrogance, like, in a bad way, but just a bit of, like,
naivety.
I hold a certain clout. Like the way,
ignorance is a better word.
The way his father was able to just waltz into this police station and kind of like do what he does because of his celebrity.
I kind of have a different outlook though, because I feel like he doesn't care about any of this stuff. Micah.
Okay.
I don't think Micah cares about the car. I think he was just driving it because it was like, let me just see what it does. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. For me, I don't know if he's naive or he's more ignorant. I don't think he even cares. Honestly, I think he could give the car back if really that would make him more happy than anything.
I agree. Like I don't think that he's a stuck-up kid. I think that he's very humble and grateful for what he has and what he gets. Mm-hmm. He doesn't let it define him, but he's also getting a taste of a life that he's never experienced.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Because in the beginning, he didn't even want to move down to the South with his mom. It was a fight. And I guess that brings us kind of to the border loans a little bit, because he felt like he can lean on Nova a bit. And you can see that barrier where he kind of wanted to talk to her about what he was feeling, but there was this sense of I'm okay, I'm doing fine. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he kind of just breaks down in her arms. Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, like, I feel like a lot of that stems from like, especially in the black community, there's a lot of hyper-masculinity.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of... And, I mean, Micah doesn't strike me as a type who's, like, is doing it on purpose. But I think, like, just it's ingrained in us as black men. They're like, no, we're always okay. We're all... Like, it's just something that we grow up learning. And I don't think that Micah is an extreme of that. But I do think that definitely deals with how you grieve and how you handle situations. And I feel like that was the reason he's not talking. Not necessarily because he didn't want to, but it's like, it's almost like, as black men, we don't know how a lot of times. Especially with, like, I feel like Davis doesn't seem like the type of dad to, like, like, I'm sure he, like, not that he's not a loving dad, but I feel like he doesn't, not like how Ralph Angel is with Blue, where, like, there's a lot of, like, he says I love you, and there's a lot of sensitivity with Ralph Angel. Davis doesn't strike me as that type of dad. And so, if you've never seen that and you don't experience that, how can you express yourself? Like, you don't know how. And I can see that's frustrating. Right?
I definitely get it. Do you think that, though, if Davis is getting what he wants as far as joint custody, do you think that his relationship with Micah would improve to that level?
For me personally, yeah, what I think
from your perspective,
I feel like Davis's ploy to get joint custody of Micah has nothing to do with Micah and everything to do with getting back at Charlie. But that's me, and I don't like Davis to begin with. So
if it was really about Micah, he would actually ask Micah, "What kind of car do you want? What do you want?"
Right.
Let me not be out in the club with my arm around a lady, and let me actually take the time to focus on my child.
Y'all, did y'all see Davis let his aunt-in-law get kicked out the club?
Yeah,
I was so tight.
Let me tell you, I just feel like, and that's why I love Charlie's line, like, how can you look yourself in the mirror?
Yeah.
Because it's like, look how you're allowing women to be treated, and this is all about your pride and your ego. And even being at the club is pride and ego. Like, my son blew me off. Like, wait, what? He's 16 years old. He has the right to feel these feelings. And instead of you, like, trying to figure out, pop up on him.
Yeah.
Or, like, wait for him at home and be at the steps of the house. Like, son, let's talk. No, you're like, he blew me off. And in your feelings?
And I'm like,
grown man.
Every 16-year-old, male or female, blows their parents off. No 16-year-old wants to hang out with their parents, regardless of the situation. So, like, that's not you. Like, get over yourself, David. Like, Davis irks me to no end. I hate him.
And it's not, it's... Because then I feel like, to a certain degree, Micah is blowing off his mom because he just doesn't want to be in the middle of any of it. But Charlie shows real strength of what it means to be a parent, in the sense of, like, sometimes the hardest thing to do is give your child space. That phone call, her heart was aching and breaking, and she was reaching out for him for comfort in a particular way for their, like, son-mother relationship. And in that moment, he doesn't know what's going on. Right. He doesn't want it. And she had to be the bigger person and the parent and say, okay. And that, to me, was just so... It took a lot of strength to do that. And it was such a beautiful scene. I loved it.
I thought it was interesting how the producers and the directors showed us that, even though we look at Davis as this big money baller who's in a pro, when he got to the station, they were fancied about his famous. They weren't necessarily fancied about anything else. So, like, when he first asked about his son, they were like, we cannot find him. Mm-hmm. Like, they went back and checked, but he didn't have any extra pull or clout that anyone else would have had. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh my gosh, let me give you special treatment. We're so sorry this happened to your son. It was like, here you go. You know what I mean? So I was actually really excited to see that Davis was nobody.
But they did. I feel like in the end, they did turn around. Like, it's like they started to recognize who he was.
Well, because they wouldn't have went and checked the tank for Charlie or Aunt Vi. They did it only, the holding cell. They only did it for Davis, I felt like.
No, that's what I got from it, too.
But you know what? I also thought about another point of Micah's maybe closing up. If we think about last season, when he watched his mom make a deal with his dad over him just for the sake of her getting the farm. Mm. So now it's almost like, who does he run to? Who does he talk to? He does lean a lot on Nova, because Nova really listens to him. She takes him in. She actually cares about, you know, his well-being. Mm. But it kind of seems like Mike is in the middle as a pawn for whatever each of them want. So it's like Davis wants Charlie, so it's like, oh, I want Micah full custody. And then it's like Charlie wants this meal, so she makes deals with Davis's name with Micah in the middle of it. And so I honestly feel that Micah doesn't have anyone to go to, so he showed up to the rally where Nova was at to kind of show himself, like, where should I be? What do I belong to? Because she's actually kind of made him feel a little bit like he belonged.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like Nova's the only one who actually listens to him at this point. But
she definitely puts what he wants first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. However, I feel like, and I say this over and over anytime there's like a parent-child relationship on screen, because it really gives you perspectives. Parents are so overlooked, like the sacrifices and the things that you go to. So yes, I agree with you, English, about like last season, she used Micah as a pawn to get what she wanted, or to get Davis here and everything like that. But I feel like overall, she loves him so much and she tries so hard.
Oh, absolutely.
And you really see that opposed to the other side of the parenting. Like, Some people may say Davis is trying, but I personally feel like he could try harder. Like, you just did this to your wife and your child. Like, and I think in his mind, he thinks it's two different things, and it's not.
Right.
But it's multi-layered because Charlie ain't all squeaky clean.
Also true.
She's very manipulative. Mm-hmm. She's conniving. Yes. She's vengeful. Yes. Controlling.
Yeah, she is.
She's beautiful. She's stunning. She's confident. I mean, I can say a lot of positive things about her, too, because I'm not chipping down no black woman. But she's, you know, she, that, I mean, that's the beauty about what these writers are doing with this show. They have multi-layers to these women, and they're complicated, and they're messy, and that's who we are as human beings. But her forging this signature is going to come to bite her in the arse, you know. And I'm just like, man, I really, really wish she didn't do that. I really, I mean, for me, it makes me angry in general that a woman, for the most part, is defined by the man that she's cleaved to, that her identity is in that. Society keeps creating this narrative that if, like what they were saying at the reunion of the baby shower, like, oh, why does it have to be about us being complete as women has to equate to a husband and children,
right.
That we can't stand on our own. And so I appreciate that about the business deal. It made me angry that they were like, well, we only want to do this deal with you if your husband's attached to it.
I think that part of what drove her to forge that signature honestly was a police station, because it was like, so when she first went and they were like, we have to have Davis's signature too, his brand is the reason we want, which, can we pause and talk about that? Because I thought, what brand, like, I know what Davis's brand
she
is,
she created, but that
does,
brand,
right? Well, and how does that relate to farming? I feel like that was just a weird, like, why would you want that brand on a farm?
It's
silly,
small
but
town
sure.
South people, I feel right. like they don't know, and they're like, we just want a celebrity and a so name weird, to right. have something to say.
I guess I was like, that seems like a, those brands don't match up, but whatever. Yeah. But I feel like that coupled with the fact that she couldn't get Micah out, but as soon as Davis showed up, they were like, oh, let's make some deals for Davis. I feel like she's just getting to the point where, and that all last season was always about Davis, so she's like, you know what, I don't want to be attached to him anymore.
But yeah. did she sign desperate. The paper before or after?
No, it was after. She forged it. Like, that was like the one of the last things that happened. She forged the signature after they went to the police station.
The thing about it, though, and I don't negate anything that you guys are saying about Charlie. Like, she has her faults, I think the eyes that I'm seeing with when I view her is this brokenhearted person. Like, even if you listen to her monologue in the first part of the episode, like, she kept saying, there's no me without Davis. Like the world around her, the world that she live in, no matter how hard she worked to build his brand, no matter how bomb of a wife she was, how bomb of a mom she is, because even when we were first introduced to her in the season one, we saw them on the rooftop of their apartment, and she was all being sexy and you know, whatever, before all the drama happened. And I feel like she's in this world where she's constantly making bad ethical decisions because she's in this place where, Who am I really without him by my side? Yeah. When I divorce him, who am I?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's where a lot of the fight with her siblings come in. Outside of them only sharing a dad and whatever else they went through, she's in this battle where I need to fight to have something, to stand on my own. Like, I have these degrees, yes, I have this power, but now I'm being broken in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And on top of me being broken via my ex-husband and my family, now I have a son who's rejecting me, and I'm loving him the only way I know how.
Right, no.
Like, so she's in this battle where it's like,
I don't think she's like a bad
person.
No, she's definitely not a bad person. I think just like if any of us were thrown into an experience that we never could fathom, we can only reach and grab for what we know.
Yeah. Right.
And she went home to her family. And that was rule number one, which everyone usually does when they're in trouble. And then she never experienced having to own a farm and grow a mill and like all this stuff. And then now she's having to make decisions by herself against the person who she was. Is like all about, and that was supposed to be all about her. So I mean, I don't think she's a bad person. I think she's just having to make decisions, and of course she's letting some things manipulate
emotions.
Her mind.
Money
and there's deals, right. And she's also a businesswoman and she's a boss, and sometimes boss sometimes have to make manipulative decisions.
Yeah,
I mean, whenever it happens in the season when Ralph Angel drops this bomb that the land is really all his, I think Charlie's gonna lose it, you know, because like you said, this is the thing that she's been holding on to, that is the piece of her being able to be severed from Davis and have something that she can stand on her own with and be a profitable, successful black woman. Like, what? A black woman owns her own mill? Like, right. That's unheard of.
That's crazy.
Yeah, this is gonna get ugly.
T Paris O in the chat room says Charlie has a lot to learn too. She has her flaws, and he hopes that she can find her own power outside of Davis. I think that's a she. Sorry,
yeah,
wasn't able to see the photo. And I agree. I hope she's able to find her power outside of Davis too. And I want to see her growing that way. But it's right. Like every time she takes a step, she does something dumb.
Yeah,
like, what are you
right.
doing?
Come on. Right. So you kind of brought up Ralph Angel holding on to this bomb, and we see him. Is he more clean to y'all?
Jesus,
what it is, be a but fan. He just looks a little bit more.
Man, he's too young.
Yeah,
too young.
He's a little bit more.
The older he's getting, he needs to come over to my house,
Lord.
Please, Ralph Angel.
Meet you somewhere.
I can't.
You guys. He's a family man. Now.
Yeah, he's working on his family.
Oh, wait, he's married?
No,
we're talking about
not Kofi. Ralph Angel.
Kofi is too young. Kofi's 23. Yeah,
he's too young.
I gotta check the credits.
What's not too young? What age would get you?
Listen, we're not talking about my personal life. Okay. We're gonna talk about the show. So, but praise the Lord for making that man. Like, let's praise him for that.
Yeah, he is. We see him working on his family, and it's a really awesome transition, because last season he was getting out of jail, finding his way, not really having a place, and now he's kind of, I feel like he's finding like his path and what to do, although he's stuck under Charlie's thumb.
Yeah,
which annoying. Sucks because mm-hmm. I feel like she's belittling him in
yeah,
some ways,
right? Totally.
Well, how do you guys feel about, I guess, the way that she kind of controls him as if he's like some kind of horse?
It's like, I mean, and I don't want people to think I'm only harping on Charlie, but I feel like it's a control thing. I think because she's losing control, like, at least one way she can control this situation is through the money, and so she blocked Ralph Angel from, you know, being able to withdraw from the bank. It sucks for him, but I love that he took the initiative. And Remy is such a good dude. Like, we can get to Remy later, but he had that little pep talk. Remy had a pep talk with Ralph and got him to be like, you know, you can get this grant. Like, it doesn't matter about your criminal history as long as you're not making or selling drugs. And like, so he kind of gave Ralph Angel that confidence that he needed. And it's good to see him take that and go, okay, I can do this on my own. I don't need my sisters. Like, I'm gonna make this happen no matter what. And it's awesome to see that in a black man. And then honestly, he's such a good dad.
Yeah.
Any scene he's in with Blue, I'm like, oh God, this is the most precious thing in the world.
So. I know. I'm so happy to finally see Ralph Angel at the point where when someone does tell him no, he does not take another option, like the matter in his own hands.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little bit nervous when the guy at the bank was like, no, and he told Blue, let's go, and he went to go drop Blue off at Aunt Vi. I was like, oh no, what is he going to do now? Because we've seen him time and time again make bad decisions.
Right.
And so coming from that, I don't know if he's shown himself approved enough to Charlie to be able to prove to her, you know what, I am a responsible adult. I'm not going to go to the bank and just withdraw money because I want to buy a speaker system or you know, yeah, like whatever stupid stuff he was doing before last season.
But that's the point that I was going to bring up. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but I think this whole new season is about Ralph Angel wanting to be taken serious.
Yes.
And so in that light, that's what's motivating him and driving him these whole two episodes. It's like, look. And even when he has like his whole thing with
Darla,
man, like he's like, I don't understand why you need these meetings and what you're doing. Like, he's like, I need them to take me serious. And at first I was like, wait, what? But then I put it together that, you know, he really believes in them as a union and as a team, and his future has her in it, and her being attached to him. If she ain't right, then it's, you're not making right decisions because you're still choosing her. So whatever decision she makes affects him as well, which is why being equally yoked is important.
This is really good, because I don't know. Do you guys have siblings?
Is anyone
the eldest?
Go ahead.
I'm the baby. I'm the youngest.
Okay, so you're Ralph Angel.
Yeah, I'm Ralph Angel.
And I'm Charlie.
I'm a Charlie, too.
Yeah.
So I get, I'm like, is my little brother, he's not ready.
Yeah.
But my boo-boo,
You're Nova?
I'm both. So my mother just had me and my brother. I'm the eldest. Mm-hmm. And then my father had seven kids, and I'm smack in the middle of the seven. Gosh. So it's like, you know, in my home, I was the oldest and had all these responsibilities. But then when we all get together, mm-hmm. I feel like the odd man out. Like, it's really, really weird being in that mm-hmm. middle range, and it's been crazy.
And I bring up that point because I do feel like Charlie is being a little too tough. Because And when I say too tough, not as far as letting him take out money on the bank on his own, but she, Unvime said it, she does need to affirm him and, right. and encourage him and stop right. trying to yes. always beat him down, right. especially if her goal is to see him flourish on his own. So that's my thing with her. However, I get it. I get mm-hmm. him being in the situation of going to jail and making bad decisions yeah. and not yet being ready to trust him with
everything.
With everything. Yeah. When everything else for you is going so wrong, it's like, I can't afford to make that decision because mm-hmm. if you do one thing wrong, we're all screwed.
And she's like, right. I don't have time. I already have to deal with X, Y, Z. Yeah, I don't have time to also deal with A, B, C. Yeah. So, like, I get where she's coming from.
I get where she's coming from. I wish she would be a little bit more supportive to mm-hmm. her, like, build him up a bit so that he can have his own and she can trust him. But I, as a big sister, I get it. Like, mm-hmm. I need you to do more than what I know you could what I knew you could already do. Right. Now I need you to really go above and beyond and be consistent.
Yeah. Well, I think too, because like the other women around him see it, they're like, man, can't you see that he's like working hard? And even the farmers around the town that knew his father were like, man, your dad would be so proud. Like, you're thinking ahead, you're making these decisions. And this one person who he loves and looks up to doesn't see that in him.
Because what is he going to fight for once she lets up?
So, but this is the thing, the double side of the coin to that is that, to a certain degree, that's the base level. That is yeah. the standard. That's where you should have been performing from to begin with.
Right.
And so it's like everyone's giving you a ribbon and a doggy biscuit for doing what,
what you should be doing.
It's like the dads are like, I take care of my kid. Like, you want
they're not starving.
Like, what? That's what you're supposed yeah, to do. Like, you're supposed to take care of your kid. Like, this is your farm. You're supposed to do these things. So why should I be kind of praising you for doing what is expected?
Right.
So I understand that point. But someone that comes from the background he's come from and has been able to survive, there's a lot of men who come out of jail that aren't able to acclimate. The world doesn't allow them that second chance. It's supposed to be rehabilitation yeah. but that's not real, because they come out and they can't get jobs and they can't have access to health care and they can't vote. Like, there's all these things, these roadblocks. So he has this opportunity, and I think it is important to encourage our black men that are coming back from the system. And his own sister's not giving him that. So it's like, I get it as well, but I'm also like, man, like, he needs extra push.
Yeah.
Because it's a special circumstance.
Yeah. And he's sensitive. Yeah. He's the baby, though.
He's so like an R&B dude. So
but you know what? The most beautiful thing about his sensitivity is the way that he parents. Yeah. Because even when the guy came up to them at the restaurant and said that he needed a transformer, and that brings up a conversation with, like, black families and gender roles.
Yes,
because,
yes.
I mean, not even black family, brown families, because the guy looks like he was Hispanic.
Latino.
Mm-hmm. There's just certain gender role that you have. Like, boys can't play with pink or you know, the girly yeah. colors. You can't play with dolls. You need something more masculine.
I right. played with G.I. Joe.
Pause. Okay. I feel like I understand that, but I agree with it. I feel
what
like
do you agree with?
I agree that, like, there shouldn't, that gender roles are blended, and that is not, like, that a man can do, like, a woman can do just as much as a man can do, and vice versa, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, in the home. But I'm saying, when the server came up and said, oh, you should play with, I felt like Ralph Angel responded super harsh, because I was like, I don't think he was saying, like, oh, you can't play with this doll. I think he was just saying, oh, Transformers are cool. Like, I don't think he was trying to belittle Blue Angel. Is that just me? Am I the only
one? I
think
that too in the beginning.
I think that they were.
Wait, no,
I
didn't.
Belittling him? I felt like he was just being like, oh.
I think that they were.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, because I think they're trying to bring awareness to that situation right. in a black family on a right. show. And it's not something that is on a lot of black shows, whether it's like gay mm-hmm. or like transgender and then children and all of that stuff. Like, we see that on all, like, every white right. show on television.
But just,
we don't have that.
But I also think it raises even a higher elevated thinking of just because he's playing with the doll, does that equate that he's gonna grow up to be gay? Because no. I played with G.I. Joes growing up and Barbies.
Oh, I was a full tomboy.
But G.I. Joes, because I grew up with brothers.
Some people say that, and now this genderless age, they say, oh, well, I only love to play with G.I. Joes, and that's how I knew I was a lesbian. I mean, I'm just saying, like, certain people identify certain things.
No, yeah, but that's inaccurate. So that's why I feel like that's why it's important. That's happening in the show, because it's like, I am one of the most girly girls you'll ever meet. I just grew up with five brothers, you know. And so they played with G.I. Joes. I want to play with G.I. Joes. Mm-hmm. And so I believe what's really happening, he missed out on his mom. Yeah. And his father was in jail. And so I believe that the doll represents his mother and for his attachment to needing that female figure in his life, and that he's surrounded by women. I don't want to necessarily jump to that conclusion that because he plays with this doll, he's going to be gay.
No.
And ultimately, even if he turns out to be gay,
so what?
It's not a problem.
No, shouldn't it's be. Not.
When the waiter walked up, I didn't immediately feel like he was attacking the fact that Blue had a doll. But, you know, seeing how Ralph Angel responded, I can see how you got that. It was like, okay, well, why are you commenting on his doll when we just asked you about Ice Cream Sundae? Yeah. I get it.
He had no business.
Yeah. Right. And it's sensitive for people. Like, don't worry about my child and what my child doing. And, you know, somebody will be quick to pop up on you about their kids.
Right.
So you got to be careful. But initially, when he was first speaking, I didn't feel that he had, like, this negative tone or he was, like, trying to attack. But I definitely can see where he overstepped, which is why it's beautiful. We need these conversations. We need to be talking about it. Right. Like, especially as millennials who may not have kids yet. It's like, okay, well, when you do have kids, are you going to break that type of... Are you going to break that type of gender role? Because I think that Ralph Angel was a beautiful example of, this is my son. My son is going to be my son, and he's going to be able to play and do what he wants. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And typically, you don't see a black father acting black that way.
Ever. Okay,
especially
ever,
in the South. Yeah. Especially in the South as well.
No, like, I feel like the further South you go, like, well, I mean, and like, just kind of where people are in at different points in society, but yeah, for sure, I can see black dads stereotypically not being very accepting of
their son playing with the Barbie. Yeah.
So I brought up Nova's name minutes ago. We just kind of ran with that.
We did.
And I kind of want to get you guys' opinion, because when I watch this show, like, I'm so happy to be on this panel because finally I get to talk to people about it. Like, do y'all feel like Nova's a hypocrite?
Why? Because she's sleeping with white men?
Not because she's sleeping with white men, but because she is so pro-black and pro-black girl magic, but when it comes to her ventures with white men, it's so on the hush-hush. And I think that sometimes...
Because she knows how she'll be judged for it.
But I was going to say, and I think that sometimes if you are pro-black, you have to quiet any type of...
Yeah.
I was just having this conversation, I know, with my friend. My friend was saying... He's African American, and I consider myself Afro Latina, and we were having this heated debate about the N-word and whether or not other colors should be allowed to use it. And then we also had a conversation about how his friend, she passionately feels that black men should not date any other race.
Interesting.
That black men should only be with black women if they're really pro-black. Mm-hmm. So then I asked him, I said, well, would she have a problem with you dating a Spanish woman? And he's like, yes. And I was just like, so that got me all, because, you know, at the end of the day, I am a Spanish woman, but I know I come from the African diaspora and I consider myself a black woman. And it gets real touchy. And growing up, I felt that from certain black women, that when I dated African American men, they felt some type of way because I'm dating their men. And, and I can see why Nova would feel like, people are going to judge me for this. I can be pro-black and love who I love.
Right.
And I think her sleeping around now is more so that she's trying to, like, cover what she feels for this particular man, because all these men look like him.
Yeah, she's trying. This is definitely her.
She's like, I'm getting copies.
This is definitely her trying to get over Calvin, for sure.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I guess I just... I I see why she hides it, but I just feel like she puts on this persona that, like, I don't care what people think, I'm gonna do, and it just, it's weird that this one aspect of her life.
That's the hypocrite question that comes up.
Yeah, I thought that makes it hypocritical, because I'm like, you don't care what other people think in any other aspect, so why would this one particular thing, like, I get that people are gonna judge you, I understand that, but I'm like, people judge you for so many other things, why is this one thing?
But was Nova at all very physical in any of her relationships in public?
With but the one with the girl,
was she?
Yeah, right,
but, physical in public.
I mean, they were outside.
I don't think she was really public with the girl.
And I think the only reason though is because Calvin was married, and people seem to forget that.
Yes. But every person she dates is like a secret. It's like a lesbian. No, it's a married guy. And now it's a white guy.
Remember they went to the bar and they almost got into
Calvin
the fight?
Because that woman, that man spit in her face.
Yeah, but they went to like some like white undisclosed bar that no one ever goes to.
So I think that Nova doesn't date. Like, I think that she's very exclusive. Although she's sleeping around with people, I think that as far as her going public, it's with somebody that she actually cares for. And the only person that she actually cares for is Calvin. So if she can't go out in public with Calvin, she's not taking just anybody out in the streets to be like, oh, that's mine. Like, I just don't think that that's happening, and I think that that's the problem too, because it's like she runs around and she tells everybody to live out loud, live out loud, live out loud, and then you're like,
but what are you doing
all in a corner?
But let's keep it all the way real. How effective would she be when she walked into that barbershop? Everything went silent. Mm-hmm. This black queen just walked into the room. The regalness, the weight that she holds in the community, that would all be flushed down the toilet, honestly. Black men wouldn't want to follow her if they knew she's sleeping with the white man.
I think that
the black men in her community would not follow her the way that they do.
Part of me, I don't know if it's even, like, yes, I do think that, like, him being white makes it worse.
Right.
But honestly, I feel like the fact that she's with another man in general. I feel like
her being single,
it makes that, like, you do things for people when you have that attraction.
Availability. Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. That's so really I feel good. Like no matter who it is, mm-hmm. yes, him being white and him being a cop are other layers that would make it worse. But I feel like any man she would be with in terms of walking into a barbershop and them all being like, because mm-hmm. I mean, that's just. Guys are stupid.
Yeah.
We will do whatever we can.
Come on, Ryan.
We will do whatever we can if we think we're going to sleep. Like, I mean, like, so you're like, oh, what? So I feel like, yes, him being a cop and being white makes it worse, but I feel like any man will be the same result.
But Ryan brings up such a fantastic point, because even with branding and management, and when people are artists and they're in the spotlight, a lot of times they'll tell you, don't say that you're in a relationship.
Right.
For sure. Even if you are, because the appeal that you're attainable will make your fans happy. Because look what happened to Usher's career when he got married.
But you know what? Okay, so that's why I disagreed with you. I disagreed with you because I don't feel like because of who Nova is,
right.
I don't think that no white man can take away her blackness. I think that she's still going to have that regalness, and when she walks into the room, she's still going to get that respect because she is that queen.
Right.
Like, and we have Eve as an example. Eve was this real hood rapper, and she's married to this very Caucasian billionaire.
Right.
And she still has her street, you know, she still has her street cred. I think it's about being in a relationship, period. Opposed to, like, with
specifically
with,
a white person.
Yes.
And unfortunately, though, because of our communities, you are going to be looked at a little differently depending on
what. For sure.
Because I feel like we have, like, you know, everybody, like, everybody's black, basically. And then you have, like, these subgroups.
And everybody's black.
As far as the community. the black community, you know?
With
Nova and the barbershop. But you have these subgroups. So once you start dating outside of your race, they kind of take a little bit of your blackness away. It's like, okay, yeah, you're black, but maybe you're whitewashed, or they start putting
labels on you.
You can't speak on certain topics because you don't really know, because you hang out with
you're
these people.
Down.
Yeah. So I think, but with Nova, I don't think that that's the case because she is so rich in her culture. You know what I mean? And I guess that's where I come from when I ask about the hypocriteness, because I always, like, it's wish-washy with Nova for me. Like, I love her and I love who she is, and I think that she's a great aunt and a family person, and then she makes these decisions and choices in her personal life that she keeps behind closed doors, which you should, you know, be private, but the way that she goes about it sometimes, I'm just like, come on, like,
Well, I mean, her whole life, she's a journalist that sells and grows weed out of her house. I mean, if we go about contradicting, I think she honestly just lives her life.
Yeah.
She just lives her life, and she, loves a white guy, and it's not good for her being an activist in the community to keep, like you said, these black men on track, mm-hmm. to keep them from selling weed, to just go and get her weed. Oh, God. So just to keep, you know, I think ultimately it would be bad if it was like Nova's dating a white cop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, yeah, it will just look bad all around.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah. Child, her whole life gonna be in shambles.
Well, but he's gone now, which, I missed it, maybe I forgot, because I'm saying, like, I don't remember them, like, officially breaking up, so I was like, oh, wait, what is this about? And maybe that's
she was on the phone and said, I gotta let you go or something, I don't know, in the recap.
But it just sounded like, I don't know, like, you're right, never mind, this is coming back
to me. It seems like, though, if you guys look at the chain of events, it seems like everyone is kind of being put in slow motion right now as far as their relationships.
Right.
Charlie got put in her place with, what's his name?
Remy.
Aunt Vi got put in her place with Hollywood. Who else? Nova's getting put in her.
Mike and Kiki is seen to be
strong. They're okay. Mikey can't take any more of this.
No, we definitely should start a relationship.
But Ralph Angel has been put in his place with Darla.
Yeah, like, that like
really
down.
Put him
Can
in his place.
Can we talk about her for a second and just how proud I am of her? Like, when we were introduced to her, seriously. I was a little concerned because we heard about what she did with Blue and, you know, her crackhead ways. So I was a little concerned about her, but to see her this season, she's strong.
Yeah.
And she's stable, and she's like more clear, like she's thinking clearly, and she's really trying.
Mm-hmm. She's self-aware. She's very self-aware.
Smart enough to know, this is what I want. It's not you. I just know that to give my best self to you, mm-hmm. I need to take some time and work on me, and so I'm going to take a step back. It doesn't mean I don't want to be with you. It's just that right now, I'm not the person I want to be for you.
Yeah.
Right?
And then she's being a mom. Right. She's like, I don't need him to act like that in public. Okay,
right. Right.
I am the mother.
It was good to see the hand again.
Get it all together. But that was the through line in general, because I feel like that's what's happening with Hollywood. He needed his space to figure things out, because you didn't trust and believe in the integrity and respect I had for you, even though it looked crazy. If you would stand on the solid foundation we built, you would take a second to listen to me. And because you didn't, then I don't want to do this right now. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, Remy's like, you're at the end of the day still married, and you need to take time to grieve this marriage. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that. We jump from situation to situation without taking the time to really get self-aware and heal. Because then we're going to bring all that brokenness and baggage into the next situation. And he's like,
he's already broken.
And he's broken.
Yeah. He's healing.
Yeah. He's in the process of his healing. So it takes a lot of maturity to be like, although this is what I want, I can't have it right now. You know, like and that's tough because we want what we want, you know.
Yeah. It was a lot of check yourself moments within these two episodes. And and it's so beautiful because we know that no one's perfect in this show,
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has their flaws and their imperfections, but you see these pieces of people that you're like, yes, that was good. Like Darla had this moment where she was in her NA meeting and she was talking about her past and she was like, when they look at me, I don't want them to see the stains. And I think that when she was saying that, I was able to relate to her because I think that goes to so many things. Like, we make mistakes in life. We mess up. And that goes for Ralph Angel, too.
Yeah.
He went through his time in jail, and now he's trying to change, but everyone still see his stains. And you know, that can literally go with anyone in this show, especially when it comes to Vi and Hollywood. Like, we see them wanting to be together and wanting to have that family, but that broken trust is kind of keeping them apart until, you know, where she almost think he died, but which was a debate between us too.
Right.
I was like, there's no way he's dead.
Remy's
like,
telling this emotional story.
I'm like, no.
We wait for him to come off the bus. I was like, they really tried us. They tried us with that one. They did. All right, Queen Sugar. We see you.
What is your take on Aunt Vi in Hollywood? Oh my gosh, I know that we're running out of time, and we still didn't talk about so much.
I know. It's two episodes is a lot to talk about.
We got pretty far.
We're good.
I'm not with Hollywood and Vi, but I'm just kind of like, whatever, just either do it or don't. I'm like,
I love them. I actually do love them together. I love Aunt Vi. I think she is the cornerstone for the family
for sure,
100%. And with her not being her life in order, it kind of puts everybody else off track.
Mm.
And I think that she needs Hollywood. And Hollywood really loves her. Yeah. Like, they really do love each other. Yeah. I think, honestly, the last season, it was, like, watching, like, the most miscommunicated situation that you wish you could just say, oh, my gosh, just turn just around. Listen. Yes. Just listen for a second. Because you're, yes. like, it was just, like, passing, like, two people, like, passing in the night and didn't even see each other.
It's very sad.
So, I just, I don't know. I hope that they stay together.
Yeah.
Well, we know he got another chance because he didn't die in an explosion.
Right.
So maybe he'll make it. But with Vi, I love her positioning in the family. Like, she's very, I don't care about anything. I care about family. Mm-hmm. And I want us to be together. And even for the dinner, like, they had this very brief moment where they were getting along. And I was like, yes, I love when they get mm-hmm. along. I love when this happened. And they were celebrating Juneteenth, mm-hmm. which yes. I love that was incorporated yeah. in the yes. show because I don't feel like many people know about it. Until,
and it just passed.
It just yeah,
passed.
And it yeah. just passed.
It was perfect timing. I was yeah. like, whoa.
Oh, actually, I didn't even realize that.
It was Monday. Yes, it was,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that they incorporated this, and I feel like people who are watching the show, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, well, what is it? Let me go find it. You know, and I feel like Aunt Vi has that role, though, ever mm-hmm. since Ernest passed away. She mm-hmm. has that keep it together kind of role. And I guess I'm looking forward to when they get along more, which brings us to some predictions.
Ooh. Wait, is Hollywood still with Maxine from Living Single?
No, I don't think they're officially married, but like, I think that's like his estranged wife.
Is she dead? No, I'm not.
She's not dead.
About
I think she's gone. Grab
she's
like,
she just
wait,
has like
where?
Mental stuff. I think she just went away.
Okay.
Like, I think she's still in like a hospital. Okay. But like,
the best part is that Vi knows now. They can't do that together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, there we go. There we go.
He was right in. Right. Anyone want to start?
Well, shout outs to Zay Talk on the chat who already gave us his little prediction. He feels that the forging of the signature is going to be season finale territory and that mm-hmm. they will lose everything or Charlie gosh. Will go to jail.
That's so devastating.
Oh, I was like, oh my
God,
Zay.
I didn't think about her going to jail.
Shout out to Zay.
Yeah, that's a
he went really
all the way in.
y'all think Davis is going to like let her go to jail?
Well, he let Bombay get thrown out the club.
He's like, real petty.
He is petty.
I can't handle it.
He's petty McBetty. Yeah. Like, he got
I can see him doing
the
it.
The petty mm-hmm. boots.
Yeah. It's really like, I feel like if he could get away with it, is if it's going to get him what he wants, and I totally can see him doing that. But whatever. I don't like it. Right.
What's your prediction, though?
My prediction. Okay. And I like to have crazy predictions. And I don't know. So, D from the barbershop clearly was into Nova.
I can't wait for that to hook up.
Right. They already hooked up.
Wait, oh, again.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, though.
But, so, because remember, he was like, if you come back by the end of the day, it'll be full, this right. jar. And, I mean, I was just like, something about that seems really weird. And part of me feels like, what if he's using the barbershop to launder drug money through there? And that jar was filled with drug money. And it's criminal money bailing people out of jail. I always have crazy predictions, just so you all know. Be prepared. That's what I think.
So he's going to need to be bailed out.
Yeah, I think it was dirty money.
Ooh.
Just because. I don't know. I like
or Nova has her hands on dirty money.
And then she could get in trouble.
I mean, we know she has her hands on dirty money. She's been selling the
rose weed in your backyard. She stole that $50,000 from
Charlie. Oh, my God.
She gets.
Oh, just $50,000. $50,000.
We'll do it. Sign it away.
What's your prediction?
Oh, prediction. I don't even know if I even have one this week. Honestly, I feel like it's just the beginning.
We just get started.
Yeah, and I'm like, anything could happen at this point.
I've been waiting for this since last season, and I feel like the Borderlones are going to put their drama to the side, and they're finally going to whoop some behind. Because you know the people who...
The Landrys?
The Landrys. Owned their ancestors, and then we found out that their grandfather and their great-great-grandfather fought them back for it. Like, yeah. I just feel like some drama's going to go down. Like, it's going to get...
For sure.
Somebody's going to get hurt. Like, we had a lot of death scares these two episodes, so somebody's gonna get hurt or might die.
Ooh. Oh, no. Jeez. Die off?
You guys are being real extreme.
Maybe David.
I'm like, I don't have a prediction. Someone's gonna die.
Let me calm down.
My predictions are Hollywood and Vi are gonna get back together. It's gonna be fine. Kumbaya, right?
Yeah.
You know, Davis is going to continue to make this an epic uphill battle and struggle. Her divorce is not going to happen in this season.
Nope.
I think it's going to be dragged 100%. On for the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
No, seriously, because there has to be an obstacle to why Remy and Charlie can't be together. So, and it's this is the thing. Davis is going to get wind. He already...
Before he signed.
He already was suspect of Remy to begin with. When he gets wind that actually something went down and there's something actually there, Davis going to do everything to stop that.
He's such a petty man.
He's petty. That's what I'm saying. He's petty McBoots. So, it's... Yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that.
We're gonna have to wait until next week to kind
of.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's gonna be a baby by the end of the season.
Oh, oh baby! God.
I hope it's not Mikey and Kiki.
Half on a baby. Jesus.
Thank you guys for watching. You can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
And you know, hang out with me at Selly Hangout for the Selly signing out.
Hey, and I'm Ryan Graham. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan with two N's. Graham, not Instagram, at Instagram.
And as always, you guys can find me on Instagram at Pink English as well as on Twitter, English Speaks.
Thank you for being in the chat room. We definitely loved all of your commentary. I was like peeking to it. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.